Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk with us about, well, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number good, of course, as always, in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're turning our focus on the gospel story, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Easter is coming up soon. We're going to celebrate the Lord's resurrection. We're going to rejoice in what his death accomplished for us in taking away our sins. And as Jesus pointed his face toward Calvary and what was about to happen, he started giving some clues as to what this good news was really going to mean for people. And there's this great story that John records for us. Jesus's friend Lazarus is sick. He's very sick. And Mary and Martha, whom were his sisters, sent word to Jesus, "Come quick." Now, they were expecting a miracle. They wanted Jesus to come, to lay hands on him, to speak over him, to do something that they had seen him do with many other people, so that Lazarus would be well again. But Jesus got the message, and instead of coming quickly, he stayed away. He stayed away for a number of days, and he did so for a purpose. And that purpose was to show that we have hope beyond this life, that this life isn't everything. There's something beyond this life, and it's reached through resurrection. So he comes, and when he comes, Lazarus is already dead, and he's been in the tomb for 4 days. So body is starting to decay.
Yeah.
Now, when he gets there, Martha goes out, and Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And she's a little ticked at Jesus because Jesus didn't live up to her expectations, didn't do what she had hoped that he would do. Mary was the same way, probably the first time those two were ever on the same page in regards to anything.
Yeah.
But they were. They were disappointed that Jesus didn't come sooner so that he could heal Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus made this statement to them. I know that he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is one of those great I am statements in the New Testament, 7 of them that Jesus made, all pointing to our hearts and the needs of our hearts. And Jesus is the fulfillment of every one of these. So he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." So that is a bold, bold statement.
Sure.
And Mary and Martha are listening to this, and they're processing it through their finite understanding. And I tell you, when resurrection first hits a human mind, we just don't comprehend it. We can't process that information in a way that makes sense to us. We need the revelation of that truth that can only come through the Holy Spirit, through and by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus made this statement, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked this question. And this is the question that I want to ask of you today, our listeners. Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus' statement concerning his identity as the resurrection and the life? And it's so vitally important for us to understand what he's saying here. Like we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, Christianity is not a self-improvement program.
Right.
It's not a system of rules and regulations or disciplines that we follow to become better and better and better and better. No, it's not that at all. It's about death. It's about the old you dying in Christ. And it's about a new you being raised to walk in the newness of life. It is about death, burial, and resurrection. That old you dying and a new you being raised by the power of resurrection. Mm-hmm. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead physically is the same power that raises you from the dead spiritually so that you can live a new life here and now.
Right.
So do you believe it? Now, Mary and Martha had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They couldn't understand this at all, not until the resurrection happened and the Holy Spirit was given, and they could see it through a new lens. Mm-hmm. They could understand it spiritually. They could see it from God's perspective. And Jesus wanted to instill hope in their situation. They had lost all hope because Lazarus was dead. He wanted to instill hope in that situation. And that's the same hope that he infuses in our lives when this gospel message hits. We are helpless and hopeless apart from Jesus. And when he comes and says he's the resurrection and the life, he is giving us hope. Hope beyond this life, mm-hmm. hope that only happens through resurrection, and a hope that we can experience right now as we're raised from the dead spiritually. So I ask again, resurrection is a crazy notion. It is so crazy that it's the one thing skeptics point out time and time again. You have to be crazy to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Well, guess what? We're crazy people.
We are.
We believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's our hope. Let me ask you, will you be crazy with us and believe exactly what Jesus said, that he is the resurrection and the life?
And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742, whether the U.S. or Canada, 844-322-2742. And Bob, something very special for our new Basic Gospel listeners.
Well, we do. We have this wonderful CD called Remember Who You Are. When you're raised from the dead spiritually, you're made new in Christ, which means you have a brand new identity. And it's this identity in Jesus that shapes everything about you from that point forward. So we have to know who we are in Christ. And this is a wonderful resource to help you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, to have a solid and a very strong self-image based in truth. And once you have that self-image, then you're not going to be knocked around out there. You're
right.
Going to go through life with a sense of confidence, not arrogance, but confidence in what Christ has done in and through you. So we want to put this in your hands. It's free. It's yours free for the asking. Just go to basicgospel.net/free. basicgospel.net/free.
Now, this is for new Basic Gospel listeners, right?
Yeah, new Basic Gospel mm-hmm. listeners. Most of you old-timers, you probably already have this
right.
CD. So this is for newbies. So if you're new to the Basic Gospel broadcast, you're listening and you want to find out more, this resource is a great way to find out more about Basic Gospel and about this good news and understand how relevant it is to you in your day-to-day walk with Jesus Christ. So request your copy of Remember Who You Are.
You can do that at basicgospel.net/free, or you can call right now and speak with Michelle at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, and that's the number to call right now if you'd like to talk with us directly and pose a question. But again, basicgospel.net/free, we'll get that new CD coming to you, those of you who are new to Basic Gospel. Well, Gregory wrote to us a note, Bob, and a question. He listens on CJCA, the light in Edmonton, Alberta. Says, is anything mentioned in Scripture about church groups being involved in politics?
Well, there's not anything particular that says that church groups need to be involved in politics, but politics is a part of life. And certainly as believers, we want believers to be politicians. We want their faith in Jesus Christ to shape how they think about governing, whether it's cities or counties or states or even a nation. We want believers in politics. And we also want to be, as believers, praying for those who are in leadership. I think that's our call. That's our duty. And we see that in the Word of God. We see that in 1 Timothy, I think, chapter 2. It says that we're to pray for our leaders. And so I think we should fervently do that. We should pray for those who are leading this country. We should pray for those who are leading our cities. We should pray for those who are leading our states. And we should be a voice of encouragement into their lives. And I also think, as far as folks here in the United States of America, each citizen has a voice. And let's let that voice be heard at the voting polls or wherever we can. But we have to recognize that politics, we cannot let that become our identity. We cannot let that be our top priority. Our top priority is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our top priority is making his good news known out there in the world, being ministers of reconciliation, ministers of this new covenant, which means we're ministers of life. So whatever arena that you find yourself in, whether it's business, whether it's politics, whether it's certain causes out there, as a believer in Christ, you're an ambassador for Christ.
Right.
So be a minister of reconciliation. Be a minister of this new covenant life that is available in Christ Jesus. That's how we're going to make the biggest impact on this world. Why? Because God's going to use that to draw people unto himself. And that's what God's interested in. He's his kingdom. He's building his kingdom. He's building his church one person at a time. And that happens by rescuing that person out of the ways of this world and placing them into the kingdom of God. And so let's be about our business. Let's go about our task of testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus. And regardless of the arena that we find ourselves in. But as far as politics, pray for your leaders, make your voice known. I think that's what's mandated out of the Word of God.
Thank you, Gregory, for reaching out. And friends, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. Had this question, Bob, from Manuel, who views on Facebook. He says, why did God put the Ten Commandments in place? Since he is an all-knowing God, he knew that Jesus would come to save us from sin.
Well, he did know all of that, and certainly the Ten Commandments is a part of that unfolding story. So as far as the Ten Commandments are concerned, those Ten Commandments, and really we have to look at it as the Mosaic Covenant. It's not just the Ten Commandments. There were 613 commandments in this covenant that God made with the people of Israel. And so that covenant had a place and a purpose for the people of Israel. It was to order their newfound freedom. So they had just been rescued from enslavement to the Egyptians. They had experienced that lifestyle for 400 years.
Yeah.
And then God's arm saved them. God came down and set them free. And that was through judgment on the Egyptian gods, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart to the point he said, Moses, get your people and get them out of here. And then through the parting of the Red Sea, that takes the power of God to happen. And so the Israelites march through on dry land. They get to the other side. About 2 months later, they're at the base of Mount Sinai. And so God says, okay, you're free. Let's order this freedom. Let's do something to show you what this new life as a country is going to look like, the one that is going to be set apart from every other nation and one that is going to reflect the very glory of God that has been infused into this Mosaic covenant. And so it was for the people of Israel. It was time stamped. It was starting at Mount Sinai, and it was going to end at Mount Calvary, Why? Because Jesus was going to come, and he was going to be the total fulfillment of that old covenant. And then he was going to usher in a new covenant. And this new covenant is what's in place today. And that new covenant was certainly for the people of Israel. They rejected it, basically, when they rejected Jesus. But we get to experience the benefits of it today through faith in Jesus Christ. So it had a time stamp on it. And it also had a spiritual purpose. So it was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. The Gentiles were never included in that covenant. But God has used it on a spiritual level as a diagnostic tool. Jesus was coming into this world. Jesus was the Savior of the world. Jesus is your Savior. Well, how are you going to know that you need a Savior unless you know you need to be saved?
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to know you need to be saved is to realize that you're a sinner and that you're dead spiritually. Well, the law is God's diagnostic tool to show us that reality. And once it's shown us that reality, then we can turn to Christ for the cure. Mm-hmm. He came that we might have life. When we understand that we're dead spiritually, then his offer of life makes sense, and we receive it, and we're made alive together with Christ Jesus. Well, once that happens, the law has served its purpose. It's done its work. It's instructed us as far as our condition is concerned, and that's all God designed it to do. It shows us our need by condemning us, judging us, and showing us that the wages of sin is death. But that's where it leaves us until that gospel message comes. And when that gospel message comes, the law steps aside and Jesus takes over. He saves us and gives us a place among those who have been sanctified by faith in him. He gives us an eternal inheritance. He makes us new on the inside, and he comes to live inside of us. And our new life going forward is a life led by him through his Spirit.
Manuel, that's about as clear a message as you're ever going to hear on this particular subject. We thank you for reaching out and allowing us to address it here at Basic Gospel. Question, Bob, from Andrew, who writes to us from Chicago. He says, can you elaborate on 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 regarding those who sleep in death? Are believers who have passed on waiting in sleep until his coming? Will those still left on earth at his coming rise to meet him after those who have already died? That's from Andrew in Chicago.
Well, that particular passage is certainly not talking about soul sleep. So there are many out there who believe that once a person of faith dies, their soul just sleeps until the great resurrection. Well, Paul has already clarified that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, as soon as we die, as soon as we're absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. So every believer who has died in Christ, their body has died in Christ, immediately went to be with him. Mm-hmm. So they are in his presence. Now, he's trying to encourage those in Thessalonica about those who have died before them. And so he's saying that when Jesus comes back, they're going to be with him. And then we who are left, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go up and be with them, and we're all going to be together. So at the end of that particular section, he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. These folks needed encouragement, and there's a lot of people out there that need the same encouragement. They're wondering about their loved ones who have gone on before them. Where are they now? And he's saying they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back, they're going to come with him. They're going to be with him. Right. Why? Because they're with him right now. And we're going to rise and we're going to meet them. And that's the great resurrection. And then we're going to come. This new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven. And we're all going to be in the presence of God together forever. ever.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we've been talking about something very special for new Basic Gospel listeners. Give us a recap on that.
Well, it's a wonderful CD, a single CD message that is titled Remember Who You Are. It's something I said to my kids every time they left the house. Remember who you are. And it's knowing that identity that shapes your thinking and your actions. So if you know who you are, if you know who you are in Christ, you know that you've been forgiven, that you've been made righteous, that you've been redeemed, that you've been reconciled, that you've been justified, that you have been made new in Christ, that you have a new heart, that you have a new identity. When you understand that and you're anchored in that truth, then that truth begins to renew your mind, renew your thinking. And when your mind is renewed and starts to align itself with this new identity in Christ, then your choosing is going to follow suit and your behavior is going to follow suit as well. But it all starts with this relationship with Jesus Christ. So God has sent His Spirit to live inside of us. His Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So God wants you to know this truth so much that He sent His Spirit inside of you. So remember who you are, and we want you to have this resource. We want you to walk confidently in your new identity in Christ, and we want you to have this resource free of charge. It's just yours for the asking.
And you can make that call right now and tell Michelle that you would like to have it. If you are a new Basic Gospel listener, that number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And just tell Michelle that you are a new listener and that you would like to have this resource called Remember Who You Are. And Bob, we had this question from Jishiru. Please explain the role of fasting in the New Testament compared to fasting in the Old Testament. Jishiru says, I have not fasted in a long time and was wondering if this is something I need to be doing as a believer. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
Well, many people look at fasting as one of the spiritual disciplines that we need to be doing this, and it's going to somehow increase our spirituality, make us more spiritual. I don't know that that's the case. I've talked to many who have fasted, and they're pretty much the same after the fast as when they started the fast, maybe a few pounds lighter.
Yeah, and hungry.
Yeah, yes. But it's not something that you say, hey, I'm going to fast. I think it's something that happens as a result of being focused on the Lord, maybe focused on helping to meet a need within the body of Christ or helping to meet a need out there in the community. You get so focused on that you don't eat, that you forget about eating. You're so consumed with what God is doing through you at a given point in time that you just stay focused on it, and everything else just kind of falls by the wayside, including eating. So to me, it's more of a result of instead of, an initiation. You know, I'm going to fast in hopes that something spiritual might happen.
Yeah.
So I think we have it reversed there. And you just don't see it talked about a lot in the New Testament. Certainly Jesus fasted for 40 days, but that was a part of his, temptations in the wilderness.
Right.
And after that 40 days, he's hungry and Satan comes to him. And yet, he still stands firm on the word of God and says, I'm going to worship God and God alone. And, so he passed all of that. And that's what he was supposed to do.
Sure.
For us, I think we just get focused on the Lord and leave the results to Him.
Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Please remember that your gifts are vital to keep Basic Gospel on the air and online so that others can hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And to say thanks for your April support to Basic Gospel for this outreach, we'll send you a copy of our CD entitled Proof, the Resurrection. We need you to partner with us in this greatest message the world will ever know. To make your gift and receive your copy of Proof, please go online to basicgospel.net and click Donate. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail. That number, the same, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.